Craig Button, former GM, of course, analyst for TSN, joins us as he always does on Fridays. Craig, how are you?
I'm good, Jason. How are you today?
Are you at the Memorial Cup?
I am not. I am not in Toronto, making sure that I can stay on top of the NHL. And, you know, I'll be paying attention on TV on the Memorial Cup, but not going there.
Not going there. Okay. Have you ever sang karaoke?
Really, really badly.
Okay, but you have.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you like
I mean,
it?
You know what? It's in the right atmosphere with a whole lot of fun. I mean, it can be a real, as I would like to say, a hoot and a holler.
Oh, hoot and a holler. I like it. If you had to predict, because our co-worker, Ryan Rashog, is participating in our event tonight. You got any guesses on what kind of song Rashog would sing?
What kind of song would... he might have to go old school, go back to Rod Stewart and sing, "Do You Think I'm Sexy?"
I love it. Oh, I love that one. We'll have to play that for him later and see what he thinks of that one.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. Let's get to the NHL. Let's start with the Anaheim Ducks and Freddie Anderson. You know, John Gibson seemed to be the poster boy in Anaheim for everybody, but, you know, Freddie Anderson, man, he as good as Corey Perry's been, Freddie Anderson's got to be on even par maybe as that MVP for that team so far.
Yeah, well, I totally agree with you, Jason. And, you know, you need good, solid goaltending. You know, when you get to the playoffs, you're going to need those show-stopping saves. And you don't need them lots because if you're relying on that all the time, that means your team's breaking down too much. But, you know, last night in the game, you know, I was sitting with Jamie McLennan, and, you know, Jonathan Toews gets in, and Jonathan Toews goes to show him shot. And Jamie goes, look, he's trying to use the poker, and he realizes Toews has got him set up. And then he makes a strong push, and Toews gets to the other side, and he's got nothing. And Jamie said, you know, his ability, you know, it's and I think this is a really good distinction. You know, goaltenders come into the league, and they have ability, and they have talent. But Jamie said that type of play really shows his how far he's advanced and his maturation in his game in understanding, you know, what Toews is trying to do, what he's trying to do, and recognizing it. And, you know, I think that that's the most important thing for the Anaheim Ducks, specifically with Frederick Anderson, is that you're looking at a goaltender that is really, you know, coming into his own. And one other thing I'd like to add to that is, they control John Gibson's rights for the next 2 years. And by that, I mean, he can go down to the minors without waivers until he plays 80 NHL games. So, you know, this is in a situation where the Anaheim Ducks are compromised in the goaltending position. And so you have Frederick Anderson, who is obviously really solid. You have in my view, one of the top goaltenders. I mean, we'll call him on the edge of the NHL. And one more thing to this, the Carolina Hurricanes drafted him and put him back in the draft. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, we were actually going through that, you know, picks in the top 10 that were drafted 1 year and then went back into the draft a few years later. You know, guys taking number 7. And in the 90s, it was very different. But recently, you know, that's kind of a rarity a little bit. Although, you know, the Edmonton Oilers are in that situation maybe now with Marco Roy, who's in the Memorial Cup. Playing for Quebec. What are your thoughts on him, Craig? Is he somebody you would sign, or do you think the Oilers might be better served to let him go back in the draft?
Well, I've always liked Mark Olivier. Marco, we'll just call him Marco to keep it simple. I've always really liked him. I've always felt that he was going to need more time rather than less to physically mature. He can skate. I think he can think. One of the things that I always... I say, and it sounds stupid, but I think that pro hockey and even the NHL, if he continues to physically mature and he dials in and he works at developing his game, might be easier for him. Not that the NHL is easier for him, but because he plays a controlled game, he's not running all over the place, the game will be more structured, like all around him. I think that serves his game better. But, you know, I think he's got really good offensive instincts. I think he's a really good skater. And the emphasis here is I think he can play and think at high speed. And, you know, some players, you know, it's funny how things go, but some players, regardless of when you see them, before their draft year, in their draft year, after their draft year. I can honestly say, Jason, and I've seen Marco Roy play probably 20 times, like in that time frame. I don't think I've ever seen him play a bad game. So, you know, I have nothing but good on Marco Roy.
So let's put your old GM hat on. He's a second round pick, 56th choice overall in 2013. Do you have to sign him before June 1st?
Yeah, and I would sign him. I would sign him. I mean, you know, you only have 7 rounds in the draft, and you start looking at, you know, you took him with the 56th pick, so you thought highly enough of him, right? Unless he's fallen right off the map, and I haven't seen that from him. I mean, I can only go by what I've seen. I haven't seen that from him. So definitely I would be signing him because I think he's got real potential. I'll emphasize this. I always felt he was going to need more time rather than less, and I think that those are the players you got to be really careful of.
Craig Button joins us. Craig, the Tampa Bay Lightning have found ways to not only light up Henrik Lundqvist, but to really penetrate New York's defense and get quality shooting lanes and get in quality shooting positions. And the Rangers, this isn't just, you know, 2 bad games. All regular season, Tampa Bay's owned them. You know, they lit up Lundqvist for 15 goals in 3 regular season games and now have continued in the last 2 games. Could New York find an answer, or is Tampa Bay just too quick and too good with their offensive instincts for New York to handle?
Do you remember the Russian 5 and the way the Red Wings used to throw that puck around even when they got into, like, you know, with the Swedish 5 and whatnot? Do you remember that, Jason?
Oh, yes.
You know, those teams. Okay, that's what the Tampa Bay Lightning remind me of. They throw that puck around. They attack you from multiple areas on the ice. Their defense jump into the attack. Here's what, you know, we've seen a lot more man coverage. You know, the defensemen pushing up and staying with their men in a defensive zone. I'll be straightforward. The New York Rangers, to me, have to go to a zone defense. They are getting beat. They pull the defenseman up and they come right behind on the forwards. I think that the forwards for the New York Rangers defensively as a group are not good enough to match up against the forwards and defensemen for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I think they have to go to a straight zone. Because if they're going to keep playing that man defense and pushing out outside the dots and pressuring, then they're going to continually get beat, and they're going to put Lundqvist under all kinds of duress. So that's the adjustment I would make if I was the New York Rangers, and I love the way the Tampa Bay Lightning play. I mean, I think you're seeing why they were the number one offensive team in the National Hockey League this year.
Definitely. New York just hasn't had answers for them. And what is wrong with Rick Nash? Or is Rick – well, I've always felt, Craig, to be honest, I thought he's one of the most overrated players in the NHL. I've always said that. Is he a good player? Sure. Do I think Rick Nash is a franchise player? No, never have felt that. And in the postseason, historically, last year, this year, he just doesn't get it done.
He's a $7.8 million player. Jason, I couldn't agree with you more. He's a good player. He's not a star player. He's a good player. And, you know, he has size, and, you know, you look at when he scores his goals during the regular season, you know, most of them in the first 2/3 of a year. To me, he's a guy you want to put in a position where you're not relying upon him. That's hard to do when you got a $7.8 million player. You think about the Olympic team. Where does he play when they put him on the Olympic team? 4th line. Yeah. They don't rely upon him. And to me, you know, he's a classic case of a good player with a bad contract, and therefore you get expectations that go with the contract that don't match what the player's abilities are.
And it was interesting. I'll throw this one out there because we were debating it the other day in the show. Phil Kessel, Rick Nash, salary caps are pretty much a wash. Would you trade one for the other?
Would I?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I was the Rangers, I would.
Okay. So if you're Toronto, because you get Rick Nash, you would get his contract.
I'm not taking him.
Okay.
I'm not taking him.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Because it's the same expectations are going to happen in Toronto. You don't have anybody in front of them that's going to. Now, I mean, I guess maybe you could look at it. Maybe I shouldn't have been so quick to say that. Toronto's in a different spot. Maybe they look at it in terms of how much term is left.
Yeah, that's what it was. Because it's 5 years for Kessel and 3 years for Nash.
Right, and so that's a good point, right? And you know what? Like, I mean, you look at the Leafs; they're not going to be a good team. And you know, you look at what Rick Nash did in Columbus. He was a good player on a team that was subpar. So that's what the Leafs are going to be. So yeah, I think that would make sense. I think both teams would do that. I would do it if I was a manager on either side.
Yeah, because I think the Rangers, they need more bang for their buck. And Kessel, for all the warts and everything else people don't like, he can still produce. There's no doubt about it. You can't expect him to be a great defensive player, fine. But they've got enough two-way guys. They need a finisher. And Toronto, you know, Rick Nash can maybe be a better all-around player. He's not going to give you the high end, but at least he'll look like he's working hard.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree.
The Babcock situation... Do you think how much will this alter how GMs and coaches are paid? Because I'm sure Babcock's making more now than every GM in the NHL.
Oh yeah, he's the highest paid GM, executive, president, you name it. He is. He's the top dog. And let's keep this in mind too. You know, it was the perfect storm for Mike Babcock. You know, a contract expiring. A franchise that is the league's richest, most valuable franchise that had fallen on times of they'd gotten to a point where they'd lost credibility. You know, and you know they were a laughing stock, and you know. I think a lot, like, I don't think a lot, but, you know, when you're trying to get your credibility up, because you can talk about the plan and you can talk about everything that goes with it, but Mike Babcock brings credibility to the Toronto Maple Leafs where they had very, very little. And so you know, Mike comes onto the market. You got Buffalo with Terry and Kim Pegula, who are not only rebuilding their sports franchises, but rebuilding the city of, or trying to build up the city of Buffalo. So they were pursuing him hard, you know. So yes, you know, you look at Mike's situation, and yes, it was the perfect storm. Is every coach now going to get $5 million? I don't think that's at all true. But when you start looking at coaches like Todd McClellan and coaches like Dan Bylsma, who was making $2 million plus when he was let go, and you look at the likes of Joel Quenneville and Ken Hitchcock and coaches like that. I mean, we're already talking about coaches that are approaching $2 million and over. So I think there's been a recognition around the league that coaches are incredibly important, and you know, managers are getting paid more because you know the job is so detailed and so and like if you don't have the right person at the helm. You're going to make mistakes that could put your franchise in real peril for a long period of time. So, you know, to get the right managers and to get the right coaches, you know, teams are prepared to pay. And I think for Mike and other coaches, Todd McClellan, Peter Chiarelli, I mean, it's worked out great for them.
Craig Button from TSN Jones. Craig, one last one for you. Who do you like in the Memorial Cup?
Geez, you know, I think there's... You know, even the host, Quebec Remparts, I think these are all really good teams. And, you know, if I tend to gravitate towards teams that are really complete and really, really solid throughout their lineup. And to me, that's Cologne and Rimouski. And, you know, their ability to score, their ability to play in multiple types of games. I mean, Oshawa is good, but they get some inconsistencies in their game at times. So if I had to pick, I would pick a Kelowna-Rimouski Memorial Cup final. And, you know, I'd hard to bet against a team that is really built to this point in time, and that would be the Kelowna Rockets. So I'm going to pick the Kelowna Rockets.
Kelowna Rockets, Oiler fans will like that. Looking to see Leon Draisaitl continue his playoff performance. Craig, have yourself a fantastic weekend. We'll be watching you on That's Hockey.
You have a fantastic weekend, too, and good luck with the karaoke.
Oh, you betcha. I'll be asking Rashog about his Rod Stewart choice. That's great.
Okay.
I love it. Appreciate it, Craig. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Yeah.